Congressman Mike Rogers is live in studio. Good morning again.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
We were talking about this during the break. Give us your take on the president.
Well, I don't think he's the worst awful guy that a lot of folks want to portray him as. I just think he's a little disengaged from the process of policymaking. And I think that has been his biggest weakness as president. So he gives the speech, he lays out his case, and then he leaves it up to everyone else to get there. And that, I think, has been a real weakness in his administration.
You were talking about how Bill Clinton would get in that room and negotiate.
Bill Clinton loved it. He would be right in the room and roll up the sleeves and get after it, and he'd know the sections of the law and the things that we were talking about and debating. And President Obama, that's just not his shtick, and he just hasn't quite figured that part out yet. And I think that's been really harmful in getting his agenda done the way he wants it done, and the way it's actually been done.
Now, you told me you read all 2,000 pages of Obamacare. Come on.
No, I did. It took me a while. It took me almost a month, and I'll tell you why. I had to read it after it passed.
Yeah, because there was no time to read it before.
No.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Well, when you talk about something that's going to impact 300 million Americans' lives, it should be offensive to people that there wasn't enough time to read the bill. And the way they drafted the bill, there were so many references to other pieces of law. If you couldn't just read page one and then end at page 2,000 and have read the bill. You have to stop. You know, every 100 pages, there's some reference to another significant piece of legislation. You'd have to go read that piece of legislation to come back and figure out what and try to interpret what it meant. I mean, it is as complicated as you can possibly
imagine. When I got the opposing view on, they said, well, those Republicans couldn't care less anyway. They don't care about the poor people and insuring everyone. Why should they care?
Well, that boy just offends me to no end. And that, to me, is the lowest base argument, right? We care. We just care about doing it in a way that actually works. And I'll give you a great example. Right now, we get calls in our office all the time that seniors now going on Medicare can't find a doctor. And what they're finding is even the AMA, the American Medical Association, that said they supported the bill up front, said, we've got a huge problem here. Doctors are stopping to see Medicare patients. Now, if you care about people, that's not theoretical. That's not campaign rhetoric. These are real people who today are not getting the care that they need for Medicare. And by the way, it's going to get worse. And so my argument is they threw this big 2,000 monstrosity out there, didn't know what was in it, and then said, well, if you vote against it, you don't care about people. I argue the opposite. If you didn't take the time to understand what that was going to do to a real person trying to get through their daily life, then you must not care about people. I mean, it is so maddening to me that they would allow this to happen to seniors who deserve better.
So if a Republican candidate wins the presidency, you believe that will be repealed?
I hope so. I mean, this is the biggest mess I have ever seen. And that's just one area. I mean, now we're having cancer drug shortages because of the bill. I mean, there are about 10 things that you would just take your breath away to say, oh, my God, how are we doing this? And we're doing it to ourselves because of this bill. And my frustration is you don't hear the president talking about it. They said, well, we'll fix it after we read it. Or, well, I think the speaker said we'll fix it. Speaker Pelosi said, well, we'll find out what's in it, you know, after it's passed. Well, we're finding out, and it's pretty awful. And none of them have rallied up to try to help us fix these huge problems.
Elaborate on that cancer medicine.
Well, they made it pretty difficult to incentivize companies to actually produce the medicines that we need. So we're running these serious shortages. It's a drug shortage where they can't get enough of the certain types of drugs, and they tend to be for the more difficult cancers to treat. So they don't have, you know, the smaller numbers. So if you're, liver cancer, let's use an example, is not as prevalent as lung cancer. So the drug regimens that are designed and created by these companies, it just has a smaller market. And because of all the pressures that come under this bill, all the new taxes, they're making it more difficult for them to actually produce drugs. So they can't produce as much. It means that some patients are not getting the drug treatments that they need. This is serious, serious business. And again, if somebody wants to challenge it, I'll take that challenge all day long. I care about those cancer. Being a cancer survivor, getting your medicine when you need it is incredibly important to your survival.
When it comes to Congress, you're the top guy when it comes to security. And when you look at what's going on in Iran, even their neighboring countries are nervous, and they want to set up a blockade and keep oil from going in and out and people from going in and out and keep the U.S. from going in and out. That seems to be a grave concern.
Oh, it's huge. And this is when a strong international presence is so important for the United States. And, you know, people ask, well, why do we care about what happens over there? Who cares? Let's just come home. Well, the problem is the world's not that simple. And if you think you're paying high prices for gasoline now, if this thing goes wrong and gets off the tracks, hang on to your wallet. You'll double your gas prices. So that's why it's important we're engaged. Iran has consistently been engaged in bad behavior. Remember, they were going to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States in Washington, D.C. They were going to blow him up in a restaurant and kill other innocent civilians with him. They've threatened the U.S. Navy in the Straits of Hormuz. They've told the rest of the world they're getting nuclear weapons. They don't care. They have been responsible. The DOD has said as many as 600 U.S. Troop deaths in Iraq. I mean, they have been a consistent bad actor. And it is, you know, I supported the sanction regime that was put in the defense authorization bill. The president did not. He's implementing it now. But we need to, I would do sanctions before we do anything else. I think it can help us. And we've got to get the rest of the world on board. And strong international leadership is how we're going to do
it. But they want to take over that part of the world. They see weaknesses in Iraq and or in Afghanistan and opportunities with the nuclear power they're going to gain. I'm surprised that China and Russia doesn't want to get more involved in this.
Well, China wants their oil reserves and their natural gas reserves, and they don't really care about the United States' position or Europe or anyone else. Russia always likes a destabilized hand anywhere. That's just the nature of their diplomatic efforts. And the only honest broker left in the world has been the United States. When you weaken our perception overseas, and unfortunately we have done that, we're going to pay a price for that. And I think that's what you're seeing in Iran. You know, right after they tried to kill the Saudi ambassador, the first announcement from the administration was, oh, by the way, we're packing up and leaving Iraq as fast as we can. And everyone said that will cause real problems. Well, that has caused real problems. We are on the same track in Afghanistan. So that whole region says the United States is just packing up and leaving. They are really irrelevant in this part of the world. And by the way, Iran tried to blow up somebody in their capital city, and they didn't do anything to them. I mean, that is a horrible message to send which is a very rough neighborhood. And we've been working with the administration, I certainly have, and trying to recalculate their international policy, because I think if we continue down this path, we're going to have more trouble, not less.
All right, two more questions for you. What did you do when you saw the Marines video of these Marines urinating on dead Taliban members?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's certainly, you know, we have a very professional military. It certainly doesn't speak to the professional military that serves every single day. I think some troops made a very bad decision. And I think they'll be dealt with, and we ought to move on. I wouldn't make it the end of the world. I would say that those Marines certainly need to be dealt with in a way that shows that that is not the professionalism that we expect from our young Marines and our young soldiers around the world.
What are you going to be working on? What's new legislation that's coming? What's at the top of your agenda? I know you want to create the environment. We talked a little bit about jobs and health care. What are you going to be working on this quarter?
Sure. Well, we've got to re-budget the Intelligence Committee, so that's about $80 billion of budgeting I need to do as chairman of the Intelligence
Committee. Not only that, we've got this aging infrastructure. When China's spending trillions of dollars to upgrade their Navy, and we've got aging programs with our...
Yeah, and I disagree with this cutting our military to about half of its capability. I think that's a serious, serious mistake. So we'll be talking, and, you know, the president can make that recommendation. I think a bipartisan Congress is going to... I think he'll be surprised how bipartisan this effort is to say that's really not the best way for the United States to be... I mean, think about all the problems in the world in multiple places, and we're going to cut our military capability in half. And by the way, the only military in the world that can stop a fight is the United States of America. So that's, you really want a strong military in that regard. And on the jobs front, which is incredibly important, you know, we're hoping to get a timeout. We have about 24 jobs bills that have passed the U.S. House of Representatives that have had no hearing all year last year sitting in the United States Senate. So we're going to continue to encourage the Senate to try to do something. Please do something. They haven't passed a budget in 3 years. They haven't passed any of these jobs bills along to the president. So we're going to continue to work on those efforts. I argued before we should give a timeout to the government. You know, all of these regulations cost small businesses particularly lots of money. And when they have to spend money on regulation, they're not spending money on hiring people. We need to remove that uncertainty to them. And I'd like to try to see if we couldn't do that. I have a timeout bill that gives the government a timeout for 2 years on any new business regulation so that we can allow them to catch their breath and start hiring people again.
Congressman Mike Rogers has been live in studio with us. I know you'll be all around town. You've got lots of activities to attend to today.
I do. Yeah, it's great. We'll be at the Martin Luther King lunch today, too. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.